praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. This evening we do give you a very warm welcome in our online service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want this evening to preach about a living Savior. Not just a historical Christ, but a living Christ that is alive and well. And I greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a name that is far above every other name. We want tonight to look at the Word of God in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 down. And tonight, I want to take for a text, Jesus Christ can remove your storm. And I really feel in my spirit this week as I've been praying that many people are going through a struggle, they're going through a battle, but the Lord can deliver you out of it. And I want you to see that God never brought it, that the enemy of your soul brought your storm, but Jesus Christ can bring you out of it and bring peace in the midst of your storm. I want to read from verse 35 of Mark. And the Lord bless all that's tuned in. If you're tuned in from abroad, far away, the Lord bless you, brethren, different parts of the world. May the Lord bless every single one of you tonight. Let's read Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was nigh full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Not just a calm, but a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Remember, the book of Hebrews says that it is impossible to please God without faith. For he is a rewarder of the them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it is impossible to please God without faith. There's another scripture says, shall the Son of Man find faith when he comes? And they feared exceedingly. When they saw this, what happened, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? May we bow our heads this evening, and God bless each one that took the time to tune into our broadcast, and I don't know everywhere it goes, but whatever the Lord wants, praise God. Father in heaven, we bow before you in this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you have promised that your word will not return unto you void. And Lord, you know each one that is for tonight. I pray that it will encourage, strengthen, and help someone this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. Lord, I confess I need you, but I also confess that you're only a prayer away. And I take the Holy Spirit by faith right now to help me this evening and touch the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against every work of the devil, every stronghold of Satan, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless each and everyone right now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, wherever you're tuned in from. We're reading from Mark 4, verse 35 down. And in verse 40, we saw yet where he says, why is it you have no faith? And we know that earlier in chapter 4, Jesus gave them the parable of the mustard seed faith. First of all, I want you to see this evening that Jesus Christ was every bit of man. Now, I have to show you this. I'm going to show you as well. He was every bit God. But I want you to see that he was also every bit man. C.H. Spurgeon called him the God-man. Jesus was asleep in the ship. See, Jesus Christ, we see in his humanity, he was just like me and you. He got tired, he hungered, and he got weary. And we read Jesus was asleep in the ship. We also read in John 4, verse 6, it's a tremendous scripture to show the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So we saw that he's asleep in the ship, the hinder part of the ship, and we also see that he rested on this well in John's Gospel. And if you read it, that's the story of the woman at the well. But he rested there because he was weary of the journey. He tired, just like me and you tired. His humanity, that same weariness which enters every one of our limbs when we overexert ourselves, came also upon the Lord. He was genuinely human in every aspect and in every detail, because the Bible says in John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. He was human enough to weep in the tempest. And it was a tremendous emotional moment. Also in Luke 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Perhaps the greatest proof of Jesus Christ's humanity is found in Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. When the apostles preached about Jesus Christ, they proclaimed he was a man. Now we're going to come in a moment to show you he was more than a man, but he also was a man. In Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. This man, he was a man, and we see his humanity, but he was also God. So he was a man, but yet he was more than a man, he was God. Now remember, there's no lie as dangerous as a half-truth. Remember that. There's no lie as dangerous as a half-truth. And it is only half a truth about Jesus to maintain he was a man. That's true, but it's only half the story. If someone says he was a man, and that is all they say about him, then they've actually told a lie, because he's more than a man. It is absolutely profound, but yet it is an absolutely simple truth. This man was also God, and he was genuinely God as he was genuinely man. So he's every bit man, and yet he was every bit God. This truth is illustrated by the occasions when his parents lost him. Now let me give you this tremendous statement. Jehovah of the Old Testament, the God of the Amen. Here is Jesus of the New Testament, the God of the Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. There it is again. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The New Testament does not reveal another God. It is a further revelation of the one and same God. Christ did not come to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. He came to reveal and make known the Father. He never talked about two gods. He talked about one God. And now in this last church age, we come back to the original capstone revelation. The most important revelation of the Godhead in the whole Bible, that Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There's one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 2, verse 46 to 51, and it came to pass that after 3 days they lost him, Mary did. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. So here she denies her own testimony of the angel's visit, because Joseph is not the father of Jesus, God is. The Bible says that God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she was found to be with child with the Holy Ghost. And look what he said in verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was made subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Malachi 3 verse 1 tells us, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi said that this 12-year-old boy that was reading in the temple, this boy that was growing up, found in the temple, was none other than Jehovah himself. Great is the mystery of godliness. How could this boy be Jehovah? You know, we cannot fully explain it. We cannot understand it. But I believe it because the scripture declare it to be absolutely the truth. Jehovah of the Old Testament is absolutely Jesus Christ of the New Testament. The Bible calls him the Lord of glory. Now, I don't want to get away from my subject that I'm going to come to in a moment, but Jesus Christ pre-existed. He pre-existed ever before he came here in a physical body, pre-existed, because we know the Bible declares all things are made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And that word, by him and for him, and he maintains everything, that means they consist, that means he maintains everything. The whole thing is maintained by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, here's what it says, Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he is the Lord of all glory. Psalms 24 verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle is the King of glory. Let me read you a little quotation. What God's servant says about Mary. How that she denied her own testimony. She gave a testimony. Watch her condemn her own testimony. She said, Your father and I sought you with tears. Look what she did. She condemned her own testimony. She was calling Joseph his father. But watch, just a kid, just a little boy. But the word was always corrects the error. Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? The word spontaneously corrected the error, and Jesus was the word, John 1 verse 1. She said, Your father and I, Joseph, right before those priests, who she had already told that she conceived by the Holy Ghost. And here she identifies Joseph being his father, condemning her own testimony. But what's the word? Pick it up. He was the word. Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. And the Word became flesh, John 1, 14, and dwelt amongst us. The Word picked it up. The Word corrected the error. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? If Joseph had been his father, he'd have been down in the carpenter shop in the business. But his father's business was condemning those organizations and things. And he was condemning them where he belonged. He was having a time there. They couldn't even understand how this boy would know such as that. But he was the Word. Never man speak like this man. What he said, he had the authority to make it work. Now let's get back to the little text this evening in Mark 4, verse 38. Now here is this same Word. Here is the same Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus Christ is sleeping in the back of the boats, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, curse thou not that we perish. Now we clearly saw from the absolute, which is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ was all man, and yet he was all God. We know the winds and the storms had to obey his voice, that Jesus spoke the creation into being. He spoke the animals, he spoke everything that there was. All things were made by him and for him. And here the wind and the waves was going to have to obey him. Psalms 121 verse 4 tells us this. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleep. God never sleeps. But Jesus in his humanity slept in the back of the boat. But yet God was in him, not just in a measure, but the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. Now my brother, my sister this evening, the enemy wants you to think that God doesn't care about you. The enemy wants you to think that God has left you. The enemy wants you to think that God doesn't hear you. That Jesus is like he was, here asleep in the boat. But remember, Jesus Christ is not in the boat tonight. He's not asleep in the hinder part of the boat this evening. But 1 Peter 5 verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for us. The Bible tells us if we are born again, we have his nature in us. We're born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We too are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Word of God tells us that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high tonight, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You can wake him if you want to talk like that. You can wake Jesus tonight, and just as he calmed the storm here in the Bible, he will calm your storm tonight. Jesus went about doing good, the Bible tells us, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Word of God says. He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. He was on a mission. When you're trying to do good, it is not always easy. I tell you, when you try to do good, when you preach the gospel, when you pray for the sick, and you're on God's work, you're going to have battles. You're going to have troubles. But don't forget that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have a friend tonight that sticketh closer than a brother. John 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Hallelujah. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. He was sent on a mission. Trouble was coming. The devil always likes to send lots of trouble. Here is my question this evening as I get to the point of this message tonight, and I won't hold us long this evening. I want to ask you this evening, here is a storm. Here Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And here is a storm. And I want to ask you the question this evening, right here in the Bible and also in your personal life. Maybe you're having a storm tonight. Here is a question. Who sent the storm? Who sent the storm? If you say God did, you're wrong. God never sent this storm. God never sent the storm because Jesus never once went against the Father's will. God could not send a storm and then Jesus rebuked that storm he sent, or he would be going against the Father's will. Jesus said, I only do, Holy Father, what thou showest me to do. He did the Father's will perfectly. He never once was out of the Father's will. So who sent the storm? God never sent the storm. So who sent your storm? Maybe the devil's tried to tell you that your trouble has come from God, and he wants you to blame God. That's how the devil works. The devil works on a program of brainwashing God's people that when trouble comes, they will blame God. But I want you to identify this evening through the Bible and in your life and in your situation that God never sent your trouble, that the devil done it, that the enemy has come to steal, to rob and destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give you life and that more abundantly. Jesus Christ does not send sickness upon his children. I don't believe that. The Bible tells me that the devil is an oppressor of the brethren, and Jesus Christ came to heal the sick and cleanse the leper. That was Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But the devil has sent you a storm. But I want to tell you tonight, just as Jesus removed this storm, he can remove your storm. Jesus can move your storm out of the way and bring peace into your life, peace into your home, peace into your situation. The same Jesus of this Bible is real tonight. He's alive tonight. And he spoke to this storm, and this storm removed. Praise God. But God permits a storm. He might permit the storm, but he never sent the storm. But Jesus Christ rebuked the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. God never sent your storm. He might have permitted it, but he never sent it. Look again, once more, at our text tonight. I want you to hear the word of the Lord this evening. Mark 4, verse 4. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Sister, don't be afraid tonight. Brother, don't be afraid tonight. There's someone in the boat. Are you hearing me? There's someone in the boat. We're going to call Jesus on the scene this evening. We're going to call Jesus on the scene this evening. And when we call Jesus on the scene, he can still remove the storm because he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. And just as Jesus removed this storm, he can remove your storm. He can speak into your storm, into your home, into your life, into your situation, and your storm can be removed. Your sickness can be removed because by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed 2,000 years ago. You just need the faith in the living God, and he can and will do it again. My brother and my sister this evening, let me tell you of a testimony that William Branham told in one of his sermons many years ago. He told of a little boy and a little girl, and they went down in a mine under the ground, and this was a place for visitors would go, and they would take them down in a mine to show the people. I guess like over in England, you could go down and see the coal mines, and you go down in a lift. And it began to get dark. Maybe you're going through a dark time. Maybe you're going through a dark period. Maybe there's darkness over you tonight, my dear sister. Maybe you're going through a time of darkness, a time of pain. But as this story was told, it's a true story. And there was a little boy and his little sister. And they went down. And it began to get dark. And the little girl held tight to their brother's hand. She held so tight and she was so afraid of the darkness. And the little boy said, "Sister dear, don't be worrying anymore. There is a man here that can turn on the light." Hallelujah. There is a man. This man called Jesus can turn on the light. He is the light of the world. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Bible says that the darkness cannot comprehend the light. And you can call Jesus on the scene tonight, and the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will comprehend and outdo the darkness. Just one little candle will lighten up a whole place. Little light will expel great darkness. And we're not working with a little light tonight, but we're working with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world, the light of all men, especially of those that believe. There is a man here. Don't be afraid. There is a man here that can turn on the light. Brothers, that touched me when I heard that testimony. That touched me when I heard that there is a man here that can turn on the light. And you know, God's servant preached a wonderful message from that statement of a little boy that Jesus Christ is the one. He is the light. He can turn the light on in your sickness, in your poverty, in your situation. Jesus Christ can turn on the light right now into your situation. He can change your darkness into light. He's a life changer. He's a way maker. He's the King of glory. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Amen. He's the Alpha Omega, the beginning, the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He's a father to the widow. Praise God. He's everything. He was dead. He's alive. He's risen. No longer on a cross. But he's with us this evening. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking into your situation, light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm speaking light into your family. I'm speaking light into the sickness in your body. I'm speaking light into you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You might say, "Preach, you have lost the plot. Leave me alone," because I believe I'm in the will of God. What I'm saying this evening, praise God. Jesus can remove your storm. He can remove your storm. Praise God. Brother, the devil's lying to you. The devil wants you to believe your emotions. The devil wants you to believe the lying vanities that are speaking in your mind tonight. But the Bible says you're to cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination. You're to take everything under the authority of the knowledge of the Word of God. You're to trample under your feet scorpions, evil powers. You're to stand upon and walk over, because Jesus Christ has given you and me power over the power of the devil in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We have received power to stand up and rebuke these storms coming against us. Remember, Jesus was on his way to deliver a madman in Mark chapter 5, the madman of the Gadarenes. Jesus was on a mission to bring deliverance. And I tell you, when you're on a mission, the devil's going to be against you, brother. Brother, I want you to be encouraged tonight. Sister, I want you to be encouraged tonight. The devil wants to stop you in your tracks. He wants to hold you back, because he knows that if you get broke loose, hallelujah, with a gospel message, that you're going to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I believe the words, "What a servant of God hell, Jesus Christ plundered hell that he might populate heaven." Jesus has given you power. Remember, Jesus was on his way to bring deliverance. We have already received power because we believed in his name. My brother, my sister, this evening, you have already received power. I'm going to give you the word of God. John 1, verse 12. Mark it well. "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name." I'm coming to a close this evening. God can deliver you out of the midst of your storm. God can make storm stop, your storm cease. The same Jesus Christ that walked the shores of Galilee is alive and well today. The same Jesus Christ that cleansed the leper, that opened the blinded eyes, that stopped the deaf ears. He's the same, Hebrews 13 and 8, yesterday, today, and forever. Brother or sister, will you believe with me tonight? Don't have your storm no more. I want you to invite this man in that can turn on the light, that can bring the light into your life, into your home, over your children. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ over your sons, over your daughters, the token. God said to Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And that blood was for a token. Now we can't go and get a chemistry, some vessel full of blood today. But the life of the blood of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost come back on the true church on the day of Pentecost. And the life of that blood is the Holy Ghost, the quickening power, the quickening spirit. And the Bible says the spirit answers to the blood. I tell you, my friend, this evening, plead the blood of Jesus over your situation. Believe tonight for the removal of your storm. Have you a storm? Have you a storm? I want you to pray with me tonight. I'm going to pray for you that your storm's going to go, that your storm's going to cease, that calm, that peace is going to come, that you're going to get a good report, that you're going to get a report that's going to cause you to dance and shout and sing. My Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And many unclean spirits came out of many, crying out with loud voices. And what happened? The Bible says in the book of Acts, there was great joy in that city. The Lord wants you to have joy. He wants you not to have sadness, but joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Bow your heads with me this evening. You believe God, for you are, that things are going to change from right now. Things are going to change in your home. Things are going to change in your children. Things are going to change in your work. Wherever you need a change, speak to the storm. Speak to the situation. There's a man here that can turn on the light. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more than a man. He's God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. The enemy comes to kill, to steal, to rob, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Father, we bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe there is a man here tonight that can turn on the light. We invite you, Lord, to come. We invite you to come into our home, into our lives, upon our children, upon this situation. I pray specifically for the woman tonight with babies in her womb. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak life and I speak protection over them babies. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, pray for others waiting on a report. Lord, that they'll receive a good report, that everything will be well, that your presence will be with them, be near them. May your people know the power and the presence of the Lord tonight. Remove every storm. Rebuke the winds. Rebuke the waves. Satan, we come against you, not by our might nor power, but by the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. He conquered you. He rendered you powerless on the cross. He gave us his blood that cleanses us and washes us from all sin, so that we're no more under condemnation, but we're justified by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Lord, your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Touch your people now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, save the lost, heal the sick, restore the backslidden, stir your own people, that they begin to pray in a way they've never prayed before, that they begin to seek your face in a new way, cause a hunger and a thirst to come upon every one of us. For they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Father, cover us all with your precious blood right now. Apply the token on our children, on our homes, at our place of work, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. I want to thank each one that tuned in. I trust that the Lord has given you something tonight from the Word of God. We're going to have a little song, and I appreciate Brother Gary and Sister Ruth that we have these songs. He's changing me, my precious Jesus.
Just a little longer, and we'll meet heaven.
address each one as you go, remember this. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, joy of earth and hope in heaven. Take the name of the Lord with you tonight as you go. Pray. Try to pray more. Seek the Lord. Try to see how close you can get to the lovely Savior. He's not a disappointment, and he never leaves us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God bless you all tonight.